I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I've been ordered by my doctors that I should sit, but it is very uncomfortable. We are here to consider the topic, will you be ready when Jesus comes? Now, if you ask the average citizen, the average person, and suggest to him that Jesus is coming, they think you ought to have your minds examined. Because generally, people do not believe in Jesus coming. Do you know this? Only we crazy Christians are looking forward to the return of our Savior. So I say, the first thing when we talk about Jesus coming is to wake the people up to the reality that we on earth are but very temporary dwellers. Before you know it, your time on earth is over. Do you know this? I'm afraid most of us do not. We make 10-year plans, 20-year plans, all kinds of plans. And when somebody suggests, hey, Jesus is coming, you may get a response in the newspapers like this. Jesus is coming in the next 10,000 years. No, dear friends, we're not talking of that. We're talking of Jesus may come any time in your lifetime. And He's coming. People think, who is He? Didn't we know that He died on the cross, was buried, and that's it? Dear friends, here is the big dividing point. People think and still think that Jesus is dead and gone and is out of the equation. We can live the way we like, plan the way we like. I say, dear friends, wake up to reality. We are so temporary on this earth that we do not realize it. I recall in my school days, years ago, Shakespeare says, all the world's a stage. You and I are but players. We get onto the stage, play our part, say our piece, and then we get off. That's all. You have a very short time on this earth. Let us realize this. And then we have to reckon with Jesus. Who is Jesus? Do you know? Let me say to you, this book is Jesus' book. He gave us this book in order that we may be guided to know where to go, what we are doing on earth, and what we must do for the future. Now, if you turn to the book of John's Gospel, I read to you, you don't have to turn there. All things were made by Jesus. Him refers to Jesus. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Meaning to say what? All things were made by Him. And nothing of what you see was not made by Him. Now this is referring to the Creator. He made us. Oh dear friends, how foolish for scientists today to think we came from evolutionary processes. How foolish. Do you know that only the beauty and order in your own body must convince you that you were not a product of chance, just anyhow? Do you know that the incisors in every one of us here, no, without exception, incisors are in front, molars are at the back. Why not the reverse? If we came from evolutionary processes, there must be a chance, of a change. Sometimes your babies are born with incisors in the front, but never. When you see pattern and design, there must be a designer, a master brain. Do you know your intestines? From the mouth to the throat and to the lower end of it must contract in one direction only. Do you know that? Why is it the intestine doesn't contract back and forth, anyhow? Why not? All things were made by Him, our Supreme God, the creator, the master engineer, designer, who patterned everything in your marvelous body to function the way it does. Do you know your heart, my heart, beats 2.5 billion times on the average throughout the lifespan? Was there a time when you had to take off work and say, my heart's gone to the works for an overhaul? Why not? Whose car is run non-stop for 20 years? Nobody. Everybody knows to send the car for servicing. Why is it that machine must go for servicing? Why is it our machine in here, your heart, your lungs, your systems don't have to take a day off or period off? How come? Ask yourself. And then you must acknowledge there is a superior mastermind who designed me and ordered things to run the way they do. We are here to talk of reality. Please understand. People do not know that the greater part of our existence is ahead of us. On earth, the most you can live is 100 years. And what do you gain? Turn to Psalm 90, not now, but at home, and it says to you, the days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength you live to 80, what have you gained? The Bible says you have gained nothing but labor and sorrow. Is that right? You say, I want to live long. Yes, at great cost. The longer you live, the more expensive and the more troublesome it becomes, no matter what you do. You may think, I am now king of all I survey. Yeah, I can plan my life and do what I like, enjoy this life. Yes, no. Dear friends, all you gain is labor and sorrow, and in the process, not only labor and sorrow, but many, many troubles, because so many of us do the wrong things. But I'm going to tell you about what happened to my life. All because of a man called John Sung. John Sung is only a name to most of us. How many of you have heard him speak or preach? Anyone? No one. I can see no hand. I was saved and my life was changed by this man called John Sung. Now, who is John Sung? John Sung was assessed by a man called William Schubert. I give these names because he wrote a book about John Sung. And his testimony is probably this man was the greatest preacher of this century. Now, we are now in the 21st, but he talked about the 20th century and his experience of all the greatest preachers that you can name. And I can say I've heard all the great preachers of China who came down south to preach to us. And there is no one who had the results of Dr. John Sung. He said, were they good preachers? Yes, good preachers. But did they have the same results? Answer is no. What is the result of John Sung? Here is a result of John Sung. Yes. Mother asked me, Ahua, we are going to Mua this morning. We live in Batu Pahat. Batu Pahat to Mua is 32 miles. Those of us who are Johorians, you understand what I'm talking about. So I went. And there, Dr. John Sung was preaching his last sermon, 1938, in Malaysia. Never again, because he went back to China and very soon he contracted cancer in the bones. He died from cancer in the bones. You know, this man, John Sung, was probably the greatest preacher of the century that William E. Schubert said he had ever heard. And what's so great about him? Ah, the greatness about this man, he changes people's lives simply by preaching the Word of God. People go to hear him, intending to harm him, to kill him, for scolding them. And in the process, when they hear him, they weep, repent, and change their lives because they were living profligate, reckless lives, thinking they had everything under control until they heard who? John Sung. Many people ask me, hey, have you got any tapes of John Sung's preaching? You'd like to hear them. Answer is no. We live before the days of technology. Today, not only can you tape them, you can video them, they can talk to you as though they are live today. No, this is John Sung. John Sung, what did he preach? We are preaching what he preached. We are preaching what we learned from him. That day I went to Mua and he said, he preached. I still can remember him. How many of you here, young people, would like to give your lives to serve the Lord? I put up my hand. Did I forget? How old was I? 1938. 13 years old, exactly. But that word came to me, very piercing, and convicted me on the spot. I heard it. I responded. I said, I want to serve the Lord. Did you know what you were doing? Absolutely. You think we don't know at 13 years old. You even at 3 years old, you can understand. So from that day, I never forgot my vow. But how is it you didn't go into seminary right away? No, dear friends, God has a plan for every one of us. So I went through. The Japanese came. They were so-called self-made liberators of Southeast Asia. They liberated us from three foreign powers: Britain, France, and Holland. Do you know, you read the book of Daniel 7, and it says this last horn came and plucked out three horns. Here are the three horns: Great Britain, France, Holland. Finish. No more colonialism for them at all. Now, I'm not preaching about colonies and colonialism, but I went from Batupat to Mua, and there I heard, and there I believe, and there I gave my life, my whole life, to serve the Lord. Now you ask me, how do you serve the Lord? I serve the Lord as though the Lord is coming tomorrow. That is the urgency. I say the same to all of you here, especially if you are above 50. You say, what's wrong with 50? You are 50 years too old already. Until you are me, I'm approaching 90, almost double 50. Jesus is coming. If we felt the nearness 50 years ago, how much more nearer is Jesus to you sitting here? Whatever your age, please remember, you are not a PR in Singapore. You say, I'm a citizen, more than a PR. I say, yes, you can be a citizen, you can be PR and PR 10 times over. But when death comes, no PR is immune. You know that, dear friends? So I gave my word to serve the Lord. When did that materialize? 30 years later. 38 to 68. 1968. At that time, I was head of the university unit in Kandang Kerbau Hospital. KK Hospital. Do you know what the KK Hospital stands for? It is called the Birthquake Hospital of the World. You say, what is the birthquake? We had 40,000 deliveries in 1 year. Today, any hospital that is very busy will possibly deliver 10,000. That's a very busy hospital. We did 40. When I went to Belfast for training, the labor staff was grumbling. Oh, we had a hectic day today. I said, what happened? Oh, we had 5 deliveries. I said, our record was 176. What do you do? What do you talk grumbling about 5? Things are different. We must face reality. Jesus is coming. Whether you deliver 5 or 160 per day, you must face the reality. And John Sung calls us to face the reality. At the Singapore Pentecost, what is the Pentecost? What is the Pentecost? Pentecost is when God's Spirit comes down to earth and motivates and activates Christians. On the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, whereas before then, Jesus preached for 3 years. How many people believe him? Well, all and sundry here and there believe him. But how many followed him? How many? 12. Of the 12, one was a traitor called Judas. All right. Now, at the Singapore Pentecost, as like the Jerusalem Pentecost, which happened 40 days after Jesus went up to heaven, or soon after he went up to heaven, how many people believed, do you remember? 3,000, one sermon. Ah, this is the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit works, people believe. People believe and repent. This was the power of John Sung's preaching. At the Singapore Pentecost, thousands were revived and the BP Church was started. You are sitting here in this auditorium here is called John Sung Auditorium. If you don't believe my word, when you get out of this auditorium, on the wall there is a plaque which says John Sung Memorial Chapel. This is it. We remember him not for anything else, but that he preached the word of God by the Spirit of God and caused so many people, including me here, a humble servant of God, to give his life to serve the Lord. I say to some of you here listening to me, perhaps you will consider, I want to give my life to serve the Lord. Why not? There is nothing better to do than to serve the Lord, the soon coming King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and Lord of the whole world. When he comes, we will know. Today, Jesus is just a name. Oh, people use Jesus as a swear word, you know, in Australia. You go and talk to them, but Jesus, they say, what, Christ? And they swear by it. Christ is a swear word in Australia, a Christian country. No. Today in the United Nations register is classified atheist, no religion. Do you know this? Which country? Australia. What they need is John Sung. So I introduce to you this man called John Sung. Who was John Sung? Here he is. Sung Shang Jie. This is Mandarin. I'm not Mandarin educated, but I know how to pronounce his name properly. Sung Shang Jie. BA in Chemical Engineering. MSc, Master of Science in Chemical Engineering. And finally, PhD. Now, how did he get these 3 degrees? He went to America as a hardship student, but he never forgot that father, who was a Methodist pastor, had dedicated him to serve the Lord, dedicated his son as a servant of God. Now, some of you may be going to have a baby, I don't know, young enough. You may want to give your baby's life to serve the Lord. Tell the child, we gave you to serve the Lord. Are you willing? You teach the child to love the Lord, and the child will serve the Lord when the time comes. Anyhow, let's return to Sung Shang Jie. When he finished his 3 degrees, mind you, in 6 years, is there anyone here who can do the same feat of studies in 6 years? Some people take 6 years for one thing, bachelor. Because they fail, they got to repeat. But Sung Shang Jie got his 3 degrees in 6 years. He went to America at 1920. In 1926, he had 3 degrees. He was the electrifying news and talk of the whole news world. His news, his fame spread even to Europe. Then, just before he finished and before he returned to China to face his parents, he remembered that he had been dedicated by the father to become a servant of God. He remembered. Then he said, I should go to a seminary, which he did. Unfortunately, he enrolled at a modernist seminary. You know what is modernism? Modernism is not Christianity. It is under the guise of Christianity, but they preach something else. They teach something else. So he got into this seminary and he learned modernism. What is modernism? When he heard it, he realized what a poisonous doctrine was being taught by the Union Theological Seminary in New York. Oh, New York must be so good. Yes, so good in liberalism and modernism. They changed the whole doctrine of Christianity so that John Sung was so disappointed. He says, my president was a coffin and the seminary is not a seminary, but it's a cemetery. So he says, I went to the wrong place, cemetery, and the teacher, my chief teacher, was a man called Coffin. By the way, that is his real name. So what did they teach? God is dead theology. This is one of the branches of liberalism and modernism that some of our churches today are teaching. How sad, how sad, how sad. All right. So this is what. So Dr. John Sung came to Singapore and he preached. What did he say? Gui tou, gui nao, jiang gui dao. Do you know what that means? Devil head, devil brain, preach devil doctrine. He was telling us there are churches with pastors today, even now, preaching devil's doctrines. They tell, oh, don't pray unless it is something big. But then, prayer is just auto-suggestion. This is the liberal explanation of prayer. It's a psychological process. It's a kind of hypnotism or hypnosis. It's something that people do with the brain that is prayer. So it is. Now, what am I telling you all this for? Here is the man, John Sung himself. How good looking he is. He came here in 4 years. I went to his meetings. Never miss one. Never miss one. Each time is for 2 weeks. And all in the Telok Ayer Methodist Church. He preached there in the Singapore Pentecost. Here is the picture for you all to get some idea of what we did. We met in this Methodist, Telok Ayer Methodist Church as it appears today. Today it is a national monument. Must never be pulled down because it is a national preserve. Here is Dr. John Sung preaching. Unfortunately, as I said, We have no tapes because tapes were not used in those days, 1938 when he came. But he preached as no one else preached. When he preached, it pierced the heart and the mind and caused people to repent. Can you think of a man who lives along Tele Ayeth Street? A man with three wives, one official and two secret wives. Brought all the three wives who were converted, and all of them confessed Jesus Christ. And two wives resigned from wifeship, left the husband. Immediately went to seminary, trained to be Bible women, came out and served the Lord. This is the proof of Holy Spirit work through this man, John Sung. My father had been a chain smoker for at least 20 years, and he had tried every kind of means to try and stop smoking. Nothing stopped him. But one sermon from John Sung, that night he came home, and every cigarette smoking paraphernalia was burned up. And he confessed his sin and never touched a cigarette anymore. This is Holy Spirit work. How do you express it? How do you know it's Holy Spirit? Because nothing but the preaching of the Word of God and the preaching of the Holy Spirit caused my father to repent and caused the man with three wives. And not just that, but according to my brother's book, 2,000 people repented in the first 2 weeks of John Sung's preaching. Do you think that is a record? Possible? Possibly. People who came and heard the news of God working among the people, they were hit in their hearts and realized their lost condition and immediately repented and believed. So that is John Sung. Now, here is John Sung saying goodbye to us. John Sung, after his first Singapore visit in 1935, about to sail for Shanghai. This is on the gangway of the Conte Rosso. This is an Italian shipping line. And the only way to go to Shanghai is by boat. Takes about a week. I've never tried it, but this is what I hear. And you go there armed with white handkerchiefs, or any handkerchief will do, because everybody will weep to see the doctor, the preacher of good news of God's word, going to go away and will not be heard for one more year. 4 years in succession, I heard him. 1935, 36, 37, 38, I heard him. How blessed it was. When I sent in my resignation from KK Hospital, I got a call from Dr. Toh Chin Chai. You know, Toh Chin Chai is my relative in the same in the sense that we are the same surname. I'm Toh and he's Toh. So he says, "Why are you resigning?" I say, "Because I want to serve the Lord Jesus." "Ah, if that is so, you can go. You can go." He knows that he is no replacement for Lord Jesus. Whereas I can serve the Lord Jesus and win souls for eternity, what can you do? Give me a job in KK Hospital to deliver all the babies. Deliver babies to enter in this world of sin and strife and die eventually. So anyway, this was Dr. John Sung. The Lord told him he has 10 years to live. And from that time, he had 10 years. On the 10th year, he fell sick with bone cancer. When he had bone cancer and he could not stand, he sat down, like me. He sat down and preached. When he could not preach sitting down, he lay down on a camp bed and preached. But he burned out for the Lord Jesus Christ. I say that is a proof of the man. Now, what are the Johnsung fruits? Johnsung fruits. Firstly, my brother and myself together, serving the Lord has started over by now. The BB Church has become over 100 worldwide. Do you know that? Bible College is the Far Eastern Bible College. But we are not the only fruit. You go to Pasir Panjang. On the hilltop, there is a church called PPCC, Pasir Panjang Christ Church, is a fruit of Dr. Johnsung. He's a man called Phua Hock Seng. He was a school principal teacher, and he was called to serve the Lord full-time. He resigned and went preaching. I know him very well. He died about 10 years ago. Churches and Christians in China. You know, when I went to Bangkok to preach, the church was so vibrant and so active. I say, where did you church, you all came from? He says, we came from Dr. Johnsung. He came here and preached, and we were converted. The same in in Indonesia. When I went to, where is this place? Surabaya, 20 years ago. When I said, let's all pray, wow, the whole congregation prayed aloud. I said, this style of praying, of vocal, public, mass praying, is only in Dr. Johnsung's meeting. The fellow told me, yes, Dr. Johnsung stayed in our house and preached here. And that's how we learn from him. How great a man he is. And yet, he died in his 15th year of preaching. How great a servant of God. Now we will read and then read God's word and talk of things of God. Matthew's Gospel, please. Chapter 16, and I will explain to you why we chose this chapter, this part of the gospel for tonight. Matthew's gospel, please turn there. Matthew's gospel, chapter 16, verse 21. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must suffer, he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and rise again the third day. This is a prediction of what actually happened to Jesus himself. He told the disciples, I must. But the disciples could not understand it. Why should you suffer all these things? No sickness was beyond his touch and healing. Every sickness, when Jesus touched them and heal them, They were completely healed instantly, perfectly. How can Jesus then go through suffering? They couldn't understand it. So Peter, the chief apostle, said to him, "Be it far from thee, Lord. How can this be? This happen to you? This shall never be unto thee." But Jesus turned. Verse 23. Jesus turned and said unto Peter, "Peter, you get thee behind me, Satan. You are being a mouthpiece for Satan." This is exactly what Satan would have me do. Yes, never suffer, forget about the cross, just go on healing and preaching and enlarging your discipleship, enlarging the following. No, Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Peter, you're an offense to me, for I came here with one purpose, to die for all of you." That is the essence and heart of the whole gospel that John Sung preached. That's why I've chosen this piece, this chapter of Bible for all of us here. How are we saved? Not by Jesus healing us, but by dying for us and preaching to us, turn to Isaiah 53. The Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah 53 chapter. And then here is a description of the Lord Jesus. Verse 3, "He is despised." This is as though Jesus was present already, but this is a prediction. Jesus, he is depicted as already suffering, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. The Lord Jesus was a man of sorrows. He walked the humble streets, sat on the donkey, and he died for us, a man of sorrows. Verse 4, "He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted." Verse 5, "He was wounded for us." He was wounded. Remember this verse? He was wounded for me. Yes, for our transgressions. Why did Jesus have to die? Why? Why did Jesus die? Nobody could touch him. When he was going, he could walk on the sea. Who can touch him? Ah, but he went willingly. He went to the cross for you and for me. And the gospel of Jesus Christ dying for us can cause us all to become new people, to believe in him and to enjoy his salvation grace of eternal life. Do you understand? He says, do you understand what I'm talking about? You ask me, where is the eternal life? Ah, the eternal life is not now, but when we see the Lord, when he comes, it will be evident. Before he comes, can it be evident? Of course, when I die, I go into the presence of the Lord immediately. You too, everyone who believes in him, okay, because he's done. Verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him all our iniquities." Verse 7, "He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he did not protest. He opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter." Have you ever seen a sheep being led to the slaughter? I've seen it on television. The sheep does not make any protest at all. Willingly. Why was it? Why did the sheep make no protest? Because God had created sheep of that nature. It's not the goat. Goat will fight like hell. But the sheep will go straight to die. Jesus was called the Lamb of God because he never protested. He never shirked the cross and never went elsewhere, but he went willingly to the cross for what? For you, for me, in order that we may have eternal life. So this was the reason why I've chosen this passage for tonight, that all of us may understand. John Sung Fruits, Bible Presbyterian Church, and other churches that I do not know, but all who heard him were changed, transformed in life. Thou you have not heard him, but I say, when you hear the gospel and you respond to the gospel, you've heard the Holy Spirit tell you the truth of God, the gospel of God.